You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
people.
Where do you want to be?
Where you want to be?
What your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a red disease.
Running like a red disease. Get to people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, y'all. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement, Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at Time for an Awakening.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a great day. Hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But if it isn't, and it has to get done, and you know it must be done, I know you're going to do it, because that's the kind of brother and sister that you is. And that's why we appreciate you. And also, too, you're going to do it safely. You know, you're going to wear your mask, you know, keep your distance, you know, because we want you here. We need you here. If you listen to this program, you're a warrior. And we need all the warriors. But even if you don't, and somehow those who do will pass that on to be safe. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. And if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcast. Click on that. And the drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. They're really updated, thanks to my good brother, Brother Kwaku. Appreciate you. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, this program is 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And all times are going to give our Eastern times. And, of course, that is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. On Mondays, Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8. Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Wahad Ahmed. Followed by, from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Cambon and her daughter, Nataki Cambon. And then that is followed by, from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Thursdays, Melanin, what, I should have wrote it down, man, you know. I need to start writing stuff down. Oh, I can remember that. Melanin something. But that's the program on Thursdays. I'll get him to write it down. That's from 7 to 9 on Thursdays. Melanin first. Okay, I'll get it. And then on Fridays, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Fridays at 8 p.m. Eastern. Saturdays from 4 to 6 on Saturdays, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then from 7 to 9 on Saturdays, the Sankofa Elders Council with Brother Alfonso Watkins. On Sunday at 7 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening. Once again, with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Sunday's Time for an Awakening at 7. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We buy black. We buy black. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. It is the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses on the internet. It's WeBuyBlack.com. And once again, brothers and sisters, we do not have a supermarket. I know it's pathetic and pitiful that we do not have a supermarket here in the Atlanta area. And We Buy Black is asking for brothers and sisters to come together to get a supermarket where the farmers in the Georgia area, in the Atlanta area, can sell their produce
and products that are produced by us will be sold at the supermarket and then some. And then we'll have a supermarket in Dallas and Miami and New York, Chicago, wherever we are. That's what we should do. So WeBuyBlack.com. Check them out. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bamani Tahimba is back in the country, and he was just in Ghana. Oh, no, Brother Oshie, stop it. He was just in Tanzania, and you can see the trip is on YouTube already. Go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. youtube.com/Bomani2007. You can see videos of the trip to Tanzania. And if you want to see pictures, facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to give the brother a call at 404-931-9429, that's 404-931-9429. Hope to have him on the program soon to talk about the other exciting trips he has. Remember, he has a trip upcoming this month, December 24th to January 5th, to Ghana, and then to Senegal, April 2nd through the 12th, to Senegal and Gambia. Senegal and Gambia, April 2nd through the 12th, and then to May 24th to June 4th, to Ghana, May 24th to June 4th, and then to Tanzania, November 18th through the 29th. November 18th through the 29th, I plan to go on that trip. I'm going to get my stuff together, and I'm going to go on that trip to Tanzania. And all the trips are $3,700. $3,700. Everything on Africa40Africans.org. All the information, all the documents, all of the everything that you need, and great pictures and so forth. Everything that you need is right there, brothers and sisters. Renoko Rashidi, my good brother and friend Renoko Rashidi, he is, his trip is next year. He has a trip upcoming in August, August 1st through the 14th in Kemet. August 1st through the 14th in Kemet next year. And then, of course, he had a reschedule and that trip to Uganda and Rwanda, October 5th through the 16th. October 5th through the 16th, Uganda and Rwanda. And I believe Renoko's trip is like $4,200. $4,200. So please give him a call. Give Brother Renoko a call at 323-803-8663. That's 323-803-8663. Habesha Incorporated.org. They're doing the work, brothers and sisters. Habesha Incorporated.org. They deserve to be supported. They're doing great work here in the Atlanta area with the program of the Golden Growers and the sustainable agriculture. They're doing great work and sustainable and the and also too, Habesha is doing great work on the continent with the Kashi Project. The Kashi Village, it is up and running. The Kashi stands for Kweku Adua Sustainability Institute, the Kashi Project. And they need your support. It's supposed to be done this year. I'm not sure if it is or not. Let me try to get some information on that. But brothers and sisters, go to HabeshaIncorporated.org. Habesha stands for Helping Africans by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. Education is truly what we need. The Ledge Group, Land for Environmental Development of Group Economics, the Ledge Group, brothers and sisters, be a part of the Ledge Group. Go to Facebook and Grand Rising. Put in Facebook Grand Rising, and they'll talk about what the Ledge Group is doing and so forth. And, of course, you can go to ledgegroup.com because Ledge Group, they deal with food, water, clothing, and shelter, the basics of life. They have 12 active projects going on in the continent and six countries and 172 people employed globally and over 260 members. And you too can become the member of the Ledge Group. Wadada's located here in Atlanta in the West End, right across the street from Sovege and up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna. And the Shrine of the Black Madonna is open on Friday and Saturday, open on Friday and Saturday from 1 to 7. The gift shop, so you can purchase books and Kwanzaa kits and all kinds of good other things that are right there. And, of course, the Shrine of the Black Madonna is located right on Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard. And so doing two things, promoting the shrine and, of course, promoting Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. They have delicious smoothies and so forth, and they're just right up the street from there. And the number to call is 404-444-1635, 404-444-1635, Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, Mama Nia is doing great work. Just have it. Whatever you need, whatever books that you may need, if she doesn't have it, she'll get it. You know, she's got postcards, greeting cards, T-shirts, figurines, all right there at the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. I was just in there yesterday. Excuse me. Brother Kazemde Ajamu was not in, but place looks great. I met two young sisters, two lovely young sisters, and a young brother. In fact, I encouraged him to pick up the Inye Sesem, and he looked at it and said, yeah, I said, there's a Inye Sesem 2 coming out. As a young warrior like yourself, you need every day to get up and read something to let you know who you are and what we are. Oh. So, the Inye Sesem. Okay. Brother Kazemde is still... He has some health issues. His back is sore, so he hasn't been in the cafe. But I hope to talk to him real soon. Because they had he has a broadcast, The Urban Politician, that hopefully will be coming on Time for an Awakening Media. And he had a guest on that I really enjoyed and like to have him as a guest on this program. Hopefully that can be soon. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People in the Spirit of Ujamaa. Cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. Their Thursday night broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. That is blogtalkradio.com/ULU. The name of the program is Dare to Win. Us Lifting Us. Also, too, you can call to listen or give a question, comment, or concern at 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. That's Us Lifting Us, the Thursday night broadcast from 9 to 10 on Blog Talk Radio. Sister Gabrielle Aurelia with the Sanjay Dash Haiti Project in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. That's how you pronounce Haiti. Haiti. No, it's Haiti. And go online to Sanjay, Sonjay-Haiti, AYITI.org, and check out the great work that she is doing with young people dealing with education, health, and sustainable agriculture and entrepreneurship. Sonjay-Haiti. Akaban Institute, Baba Baruti and Mama Ya Baruti are educating our young warriors. Deserve to be supported, so make your check or money order out to Akaban Institute. Send it to P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. But if you want to use PayPal or Cash App, you can do so. Put in the $ Yah, Y-A-A, the letter M, Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, and you can continue to donate. I don't have Mama Yah's. They have a program coming up. They've been doing a lot of programs, and when I talked to her the other day, they have students all around the country and literally around the world because they're doing just good work. They are doing phenomenal work. So, the Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. December 1st. The success of the movement is going to depend very heavily on the number of people willing to sacrifice in giving some unpaid or not fully paid service. Chancellor Williams.
Truly benevolent service is given without thought of personal gain. It is a consummate act of selfless love. There is no expectation in a heartfelt contribution to the good of one's friends, family, or people, regardless of the sacrifice. Reciprocity is to be found in the benefit felt through one's great-great-great-great-grandchildren's empowerment. Benevolence is a prerequisite for any victory through the revolutionary force of a dispossessed people. Because most often a dispossessed people are not in a position to spiritually, mentally, or materially elevate themselves in their own traditions while in the act of being revolutionary. Most often dispossessed people are captives of their oppressor's religion, their psychology, psychologically imprisoned in the thought process and reason of a menticidal self-negation and other evaluation, and without direct control over the resources necessary to claim independence. If any of these apply, if these people were spiritually solvent in and of themselves, if they saw themselves for who they were and thought accordingly, or if they had in their possession the physical means to self-sufficiency and self-defense, there would be no need for a revolution. Therefore, if we want liberation and sovereignty, we should invest all our energy into sacrificial revolutionary action. Ashe. Affirm, I willingly sacrifice my labor to the African nation. Affirm, I willingly sacrifice my labor to the African nation.
You know, I guess as old as I am, this is my contribution. And I you know, whatever I can do to help liberate the minds of African people, to help bring on independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. Remember, our motto of this program is Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die.
December 2nd, a lie is nothing for a liar to tell. Johnny May Lloyd. It is one thing to lie. It is another to know the truth but spawn even more lies to buy time because of so many of those oppressed rightly refuse to lose memory of your forked tongue as they find their way and disregard yours. I call it imperfect lies. I call it impacted lies. The telling of more and more lies based on defending an incorrect originals. Unconnected originals. When you have told so many lies on top of each other over the centuries that telling the truth about one of your early fundamental or foundational lies would unravel all the lies that have been defensively piled on top of it, thus exposing you for what you truly are. You have no choice but to continue to lie. When your ability to maintain your privilege and control over others' reality is based on the lies about what you are, and who you and who they are, you cannot tell the truth. So we must question, at what point do you begin to believe the truth of the liars? I repeat that. At what point do we begin to believe the truth of liars? Never. If I have lied to you for hundreds of years, when do you start to believe I'm telling you the truth? When I again place my hand on the holy book, when I again swear on my mother's grave, when I again cross my heart and hope to die, when I again say, look me in my eyes, when I again write it in a contract, unless you have never stopped hoping that I would stop lying, you have to question when Westernized tongues impart lies as truth. If I had lied to you for 20, 50, 100, 1,000 years, will you ever believe me? I should hope not. Affirm, I do not give the truth of liars a second thought. Affirm, I do not give the truth of liars a second thought. The Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Baba Mikasa.
Yes.
How you doing, my good brother?
I'm doing great, my brother. How are you?
I am well. I am well. Listen, I'm going to do another thing here. I'm going to read something from Kwame Nkrumah and Mama Marimba. Okay? So I appreciate you being here, so you just hold on because we're going to do this. All right?
Yes, sir. I'm enjoying you.
Okay, thank you. Kwame Nkrumah, and I, you know, if you've listened to this program, you know there's a few things that I, aside from reading the Inye Sesim, I read a couple of things that I feel are inspirational and thought-provoking. Kwame Nkrumah, at his speech of freedom in 1961, Kwame Nkrumah said that that I strongly believe and sincerely that with the deep-rooted wisdom and dignity and innate respect for human lives, the intense humanity that is our heritage, the African culture, united under one federal government, will emerge not just as another world block to flaunt its wealth and strength, but as a great power whose greatness is indestructible because it is built not on fear, envy, and suspicion, nor won at the expense of others, but founded on hope, trust, friendship, and directed to the good of all mankind. A few years later, he said this: if we do not approach the problems in Africa with a common front and a common purpose, we shall be haggling and wrangling amongst ourselves until we are colonized again and become the trolls of a far greater colonialism than we had suffered heretofore. To be truly liberated, African people must come to know the nature of European thought and behavior in order to understand the effect the Europeans have had on our ability to think victoriously. We must be able to separate our thoughts from Europeans' thoughts so as to visualize a future that is not dominated by Europeans. This is a demand by an African-centered view, because why? We are Africans. And because the future towards which Europeans leads us is genocidal. Mama Marimba. The African World newspaper is out. And I appreciate Mama Marimba. She has done outstanding work. 24 pages. I will be reading from time to time from the African World newspaper, and I appreciate what work that Mama Marimba has done to sacrifice to make these things happen. All right. My guest, of course, today is the incomparable African, Baba Mokasa Dada. How are you doing, man?
Fine, Brother Africa. How are you?
I'm well, sir. I am well. I look forward to this conversation, and I hope others will join us. And brothers and sisters, you can join us at 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. Now, you know, one of the things, you know, I didn't know, you know, your history when I first got here to Atlanta. Only thing that I, you know, admired you for was you strong. And you are strong, brother. And you, although you scare a lot of people, but I loved it. You know, I loved it. You know, because I'm a Pan-Africanist. I believe in African redemption. I believe, you know, I've given up any thought of us and Europeans coalescing and living together. That given up that long ago. You know, and I work towards independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. In fact, our motto is Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die. You know, that's what we must strive for. You know, and if we're going to be a independent and free-thinking people, you know, that has to start now. Would you agree?
100%.
Yeah, it has to start now.
You know, and those brothers and sisters who are doing the educating in that way, I tell you, I love them, respect them highly, you know, because some of them are doing it. You know, they're not making the money that maybe a public school might pay them or even a private school might pay them, you know. And, of course, some of the children they work with are not from the families that have that kind of money to pay like it is a private school. But it must be done. We have to develop. We have to put into the minds of our young people, this is our direction. You know, this is the way we must go. You know, because what I'm seeing consistently, particularly since the George Floyd killing and all the things that sprung from that, is a belief that that somehow we can reform this system, that somehow we can change this and it can have some equality or some betterment or whatever. You know, to me, that's foolish. Because as Malcolm said, of all our studies, history is best qualified to reward our research. Look at the history. Look at the history of these people and their connection to us and others and globally. Look at their history. Wherever they have gone, they have taken people's land, subdued them, or even eliminated them. Look at the history. When, as long as we've been here in this country, for us collectively, and I think what they do, of course, you know, because they ain't stupid, but what they do is, of course, put some Negroes up at you in front of your face and see you too can be like them. And so, you know, they're constantly promoting this idea that America is this, of course, land of opportunity. And, of course, we have fallen prey to that. And it's been detrimental to us collectively as a people, you know, whereas somebody benefited, somebody who has gotten money, position, you know, in the government, in politics, and so forth, you know, and makes folks believe that it's, see, they did it, and so can you. You know, that's a fallacy. But, you know, let's talk about, you know, your beginnings, my brother, because, you know, I didn't know, you know, until I heard you on radio and speaking and so forth, that you were involved in SNCC from the outset, from the very beginning, you know. And how long were you in SNCC, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee?
Beginning to end.
From the beginning to the end. Okay. Yeah. From the beginning to the end. Yeah, SNCC. I know that SNCC has a history of being radical. Is that something that you would say yes to? But I also know that SNCC had, you know, at the time we're on, of just trying to, you know, settle things, trying to, you know, from the Kwame Ture time to time that you've been there. But you said you've been there from the beginning to the end of the time that John Lewis took over, you know, and in fact, in contained in the words. I know Mama, I know you were, of course, there at the same time Mama Marimba was in SNCC.
Yeah, she was in Mississippi.
She was in Mississippi. What amount of time... And where were you in the involvement of SNCC?
I was all over. I was from my ability to talk and mobilize and pull people together. SNCC used me all over. I was like a spokesman in the field.
Okay. Okay.
I was in the field, whatever. All of them called me their general. Stokeless, John Lewis, Foreman, Jim Foreman, and Rap Brown. They called me their general.
Okay.
You were the field.
Yeah, you were the field general. Okay, organizing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, were you mostly organizing on college campuses or within those communities themselves? Because SNCC always kind of gave me the impression that it was a lot of college kids. Am I wrong? Well,
it was a lot of college kids, but I didn't come from college. Mm-hmm. I came out the pool hall. I came out throwing bricks and balls in a nonviolent movement, and I was able to be one of the people that led the first rebellion or the first riot that took place in the civil rights movement, where we threw bricks and balls and fought and tore up the city, was in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And that drew my, and me and C.T. Vivian was in Chattanooga. And C.T. Was like my, I guess, a mentor or whatever. And that I led through bricks and balls, and we was in a rebellion. We did a sit-in movement. And when we did the sit-in movement, a lot of white mobs attacked us. And they beat us up one day. And then and made us, we had to fight our way out of there physically. And we made it to the main street in Chattanooga called 9th Street. That was the main street in the hood. And after we got to 9th Street, we wasn't going to take another step backwards. So we shared a few bricks and balls with each other. And then the next day, we turned out to school and the community. And we met, we took 1,000 or more people downtown, and we bust wonders and fought and threw bricks and balls and at police and at firemen and everybody tried to slow us down. But we did print our name in the movement, and that we were involved in a shooting. The police shot at us and all that kind of thing. And we beat a few white people to their knees. And then when they got wind of that, they sent organizers to Chattanooga, top organizers to Chattanooga, because we were like an embarrassment to the nonviolent movement.
Yeah, I could see that.
And they sent these guys up there to teach us about nonviolence and called us into a church. And we went into the church, and when the guy started teaching us about nonviolence, which I'd never heard of, and I asked him when he was slapping and spitting on us and showing us how to do and all that. And I told him, you must be crazy or something, and let me slap you. You slapping us, let me slap you. And I went up there, and he said, slap me, slap me. And I slapped that man so hard that his head came on his head. But from that day on, I went out and used nonviolence and saw that it was a good weapon and a good way to stir up a community.
Well,
and at that time, SNCC was formed. All the movement was spontaneous. So this kind of movement was all over the South. All the college kids were going to the local stores or bus stations or wherever they had lunch counters, downtowns and what have you, in Nashville and Albany and Jackson and other places. We went in those places and sit down. But that movement spread it all over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it just as much of segregation and exclusion in the South was happening as well as in the North, you know. And I remember, well, I participated in some open housing marches in Milwaukee and, you know, got met with some bricks and bottles because in Milwaukee there is a viaduct that separates the North to the South. And at that time, we did not live south of the viaduct. Most of us lived, in fact, barely all of us lived on the North side. And so open housing legislation was consistently introduced in the common council, but it would never pass because of the Southside legislators, you know, Southside alderpersons. And
we were always separate and unequal, and that we lived in neighborhoods all across the country where we were the slaves and they were the slave masters, mm-hmm. and that we made less money. We lived in slums with different levels of roaches and rats and violence against us, and we lived with that. And that was basically across the country, mm-hmm. and that it was very open in Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, South Carolina, and whatever. And it was open in New York, too, if you right. went into the wrong community.
That's right.
As long as you stayed in your place and stayed in the area where they put you, you could pretty much be pretty much slave. But in most places, you had to say yes, sir, to white people, not look them in the face, and all those kinds of things that existed.
Yeah.
We lived in a slave of colonialism, apartheid, or racism. Mm-hmm. And we lived with that and everything that came with that. All the toppings that came with racism and colonialism, racism, of slavery, to make it clear, mm-hmm. it was happening to us all over the world.
Right.
And that we end up with nothing, but we were being beat down. And you're safe if you scratch your head, didn't look white people in the eyes, didn't forget to say yes, sir, and those kinds of things, you were all right. Mm-hmm. But once you said you wanted your freedom, said that violence against black people were wrong, or wasn't being treated right in different levels, wanted more, then you became a target and an enemy.
That's right.
And your dad spoke out, went and opened the doors, or look white folks in the eyes, or sit down where they sit, or go into a bathroom that white people go in. Many people lost their lives, like Sammy Young Jr., for going into a bathroom where white people go. People beat down and put in jail for sitting down at a lunch counter where white people sit.
And all those challenges that you brothers and sisters tried to, you know, tried to make, most of them were met with violence, you know.
Of course.
You know, most of them were met with violence, and of course, you were put in jail. An offense like that, I mean, how long
would
you stay?
And our families were threatened, our mamas and daddies were threatened, mm-hmm. Crosses was burning our houses. And sometime they came to our houses, shot our houses up, threw dynamite on our porches, machine gun our houses, shot some of our people that was working with us and stuff like that. So those kinds of things took place too.
And from
the day I started, my family and my life was in danger in Chattanooga.
And are you from Chattanooga? Is that where you basically started?
I was born in Chattanooga.
Okay.
And my parents were from North Alabama, mm-hmm. In a little place called Rixus, R-I-C-K-S, Rixus, Alabama, on a plantation out there. And we picked cotton. I go in the summer and pick cotton and outhouses and shacks, basically mm-hmm. shacks that you didn't find too many of us living in a decent house.
Right.
You didn't find no hard toilets and stuff like that didn't exist.
You know, that's
TV,
why, that's why,
electric light.
That's why, to me, you know, when people hail all of these little incremental so-called victories of particularly political things, you know, first vice president, first president, this, that, or the other, you know, the reality is it's always measured towards what Caucasians have done and what they have, you know? And oh, you know, here's a milestone, and we still got more to go, and we're still coming up that hill. We still, you know, still fighting all this ignorance and all this stuff. But yet, you know, we're going to hold fast. We're going to hold fast with the Lord and all that old madness. And yet, our condition, I did a piece, Baba Makasa, I did a piece a few weeks ago. We are no better off than we were 50 years ago. with statistical information from a financial standpoint, from an educational standpoint, from a health standpoint, we are no better off than we were 50 years ago.
We're worse. We're facing closer to genocide, more of us in jails and prisons. The families have been broken up. The dad is not in the house. The children are being attacked, drugged, and what have you. The schools are no good. They police not children in schools and whatever. We had thousands of millions of businesses all over everywhere because you couldn't go to the white folk business. So we had all kind of business. They had streets full of African business and stuff like that. All that's gone. We had 50 million acres of land at one point. All that's gone. And the jails and prisons are full with our people. And that, but when we look, we're being killed and murdered and enslaved in the Caribbean. The land has been taken from the people in Jamaica and Haiti. And Haiti is in slavery. And you have people like Hillary Clinton and Obama and all of them participating in the oppression of the people in Haiti, Brazil. You have 100 million Africans that's living under the worst conditions that a human being, that humans could live under. In the South Pacific, you have the worst conditions. Australia and all of them putting our people in slavery. We have in Caribbean, throughout the Caribbean, the people down there don't own their land, and the United States still control it, and the Europeans still got the best parts of the land. Where they party, vacation, or whatever they do, they exploit the natural resources of the land. It's not in our hands. And our motherland, Africa, the Congo, is one of the richest elements of the world and the richest place in the world, full of all kinds of resources from apples and peanuts and mangoes and diamonds and gold and oil and silver and coltan and millions of other resources. And all kind of waterways and fresh water and perfect temperatures and growth possibilities of feeding the whole world or feeding Africa. Africa's feeding the whole world. So not just the Congo, but all of Africa's full of oil and everything. And that land belongs to us. And that we don't benefit from that land. In Africa, the same people that's oppressing us in Atlanta or Mississippi or Alabama or Georgia or anywhere else or the United States, and that includes this man just got elected president, the one that's been the president, and all of them that came before them, they all rape Africa, and they all rape the world. They all help commit genocide on different people in the world, like what they're doing in Iraq, Syria, like they're doing in Yemen, like they're doing in Palestine, like they're doing in the Congo, and like they have totally raped the continent of Africa. Obama, a neo-colonialist, or what we call a traitor, or Uncle Tom, an agent of imperialism, he put black armies all over Africa for the white man, Afrikaan, mm-hmm. and they and the governments and the presidents and the leaders in Africa hold guns on their own people and let them take our diamonds and gold and all of that richness out of Africa for pennies on a dollar. And only somebody gets that, and there's a few of them, and they leave the masses of the people around the world living on less than a dollar and 9 cents a day, living on that, and they're hungry, they're starving. Never seen a clean glass of water. And these are the crime the United States and all the Democrats, Republicans, and all of them live by, and all the multinational corporations, all the companies, the car companies, the factories, the industries, the people that make the material stuff. They got people in sweatshops making Coca-Cola, sweatshops making tennis shoes, sweatshop making clothes, and all kind of other places, sweatshops and slavery, digging diamonds and gold and all that. So these people have not changed since the day they drove themselves into Africa to kill, murder, rob, and explored the continent of Africa, they have not changed one inch. So the whole world where African people are and the places where other people live, whether they call them Asians or Chinese or whoever, Koreans or whatever, these people are being exploited militarily, held down. And so the United States is at the head of all of it. So the crimes and the criminals are organized and coming out of the United States, France, Britain, Germany, and all these multinational corporations are committing these crimes. So we, and then when you look at our people and you don't have medicine, you don't have medical care, or you don't have lights, gas, water, or you always in a strain for everything you get, then this is the outcome of your homeland, Africa, being exploited. And we cannot go for people because they are black. They
take right.
the blackest people
That's right.
and put them next to them like they did Obama, mm-hmm. and he dropped bombs on Africa
That's right.
and killed tens of thousands of people. Look what he did to Muammar Gaddafi, his mm-hmm. children, his family, and mm-hmm. thousands of other people. And because Obama, Hillary Clinton, and Biden, and the others, they are now selling brothers and sisters, Africans, black people like us, selling them into slavery. And they're going through the streets and putting fear in them, chopping them up in the streets, shooting them down in the streets, going to village, killing everybody in the village, and putting so much fear in them, and putting them in cages, selling them throughout. And they're dropping so many bombs, United States now.
Yeah.
And they got some people look just like me and you, helping them do it, where you got thousands, tens of thousands of people running, jumping into the ocean, drowning, trying to get away. And that's how violent they are. And they're dropping bombs on Yemen, where they have blown up all the water, all the light companies, all the bridges, all the food production places, all the schools, all the hospitals, everything. And the bombs are coming from right here in the United States.
And you know that.
So we dealing with international. When we started out for a hamburger, this led us to see what we were really fighting against and the crimes of who these people are and what they are. And that it's more than just getting a hamburger. It's more than just voting for one of these people or forces that's already in power that control us. And what we are fighting for is something that we got to fight for ourselves, and we can no longer ask the Democrats or Republicans or no good white people, no slave master, to solve our problem. We have to drive them back. We have to organize. We have to teach our people to love each other. We have to teach our people, take our people's mind back, because they use the Bible, they use Christianity with the lies they work it out with to take our minds away from us. And many of us have lost our minds. We think like they do or think like they tell us to do or believe the lies that they tell us. And so by us fighting for a hamburger, by us fighting to go in the front door, we're really fighting against the exploitation and the oppression of African people worldwide and the destruction of Africa and the rape of Africa and the division of Africa and the slashing up of Africa, where all the European powers have taken a piece and they refuse to turn those pieces loose, even though the white man gave up his leadership in Africa politically and put some black faces there.
They still running it.
They made sure that the diamonds and the resources and the power still is in the hands of France, Britain, Germany, and the other forces of the world.
Ashe. Well, listen, Baba Wakasa, we're going to take a break. When we come back from that break, we'll ask you and our listening audience to join us at 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. 1-800-490-9832. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. You stay with us. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Yeah.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Of course, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. All times are going to give our Eastern times. On Mondays from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds with public affairs programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Jihad Ahmed, and then followed by Black Therapy Central from 8 to 9 with Dr. Cambon and her daughter, Nataki Cambon. And then that is followed by, from 9 to 10, Conversations Reparations for Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of NCOBRA. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Thursdays, Melanin. And that is on Tuesdays. On Thursdays, rather, from 7 to 9. And on Friday at 8 p.m., if it's 8 p.m. and it's Friday, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then on Saturdays from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then from 7 to 9 on Saturdays, the Sankofa Elders Council. And then on Sunday, once again, at 7 p.m., it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. That was Roy Ayers. 2000's Got to Be Black. Yeah, that was 50 years ago. He put that out 50 years ago. And the other one, of course, is Red, Black, and Green. I want to play something right quick, Baba Wakasa. I'm quite sure you're going to appreciate it. And so our listening audience. And we'll be right back with it.
There is a lot of talk of late on the African continent about the fact that Africans are awakening. There is a lot of talk about the fact that we are woke. But the question that I'd like to ask you is, almost 100 years ago, a man called Marcus Garvey rose and told Africans that they must unite. Unite in their control of resources. Unite as nations. Unite their imaginations, their dreams, aspirations, and capabilities to grow in Africa. And a race that will be able to self-determine and compete against other races. A man called Kwame Nkrumah came and said the same message. And another by the name of Malcolm X said the same. But the question is, after almost a century since the rise of Marcus Garvey, has Africa achieved unity? Do we control our resources? Do we unite in our aspirations, dreams, and have we elevated Africa into a continent and a race that can compete and self-determine against other races? The truth of the matter is we have failed. We have failed because we have remained divided. We've continued to work as 54 different states that continue to be subjugated. This is why the French continue to have 14 colonies on the African continent. It is why 36 African countries have got American bases and AFRICOM on their soil. It is why many African countries continue to sell their resources, their institutions, for debt to countries like China. And the question that I'm now challenging you, the woke generation, with is what are we going to do about it? The reason we've got wars on the African continent is because we're being divided for conquest. The reason we've got sanctions on the African continent is that all the independent knowledge and education, the power to take control of our resources, can be destroyed so that Africa can continue to be colonized by our Western colonizers. This is why now we need to rise. Remember that you, the African American, with all your paper money, the greatest wealth among all black nations, only have paper money, but the true wealth is in Africa. The true wealth is the reason why Africa is under sanctions and war. The one that Europeans want to keep for themselves. You need to bring your paper money, your skill, your knowledge, your frustration back to Africa to invest it in the control of real wealth and real resources in the form of the oil, the diamonds, chrome, lithium, cassiterite, and all the other resources that the Western worlds are fighting to control in Africa. Your paper money can be leveraged into machines, skills, technology, and the knowledge that Africa needs in order to move and prosper. You, the Caribbean, with your skill, power, determination. You, the Jamaican, the first people to resist European colonialism. You, the Haitian, the very first black peoples to defeat a European army. You are the answer to Africa's problems. You, the European African, with all that you've learned and earned, the basketball player, the soccer player, the sportsman, the singer, the musician, the actor, with all your billions of dollars, are the investment that Africa needs to stop its dependency on the colonizer. It's about time that we rose. And I'm saying that Marcus Garvey's dream can be fulfilled, because when he dreamt it, not a single country, not a single African country was independent. When he dreamt it, not many black billionaires existed, if any. But today we've got black billionaires. Today the richest man in Africa is a black man. We have what it takes and the capacity that it takes to grow our continent into being a continent that can be respected, can self-determine, control its resources, control the processing of those resources, and create currencies based on those resources to be the leading economy in the world. With that, we can industrialize, grow up the technology curve, and begin to create the machinery, the tools to defend the sovereignty of this continent. And now I say it's time that we unite. We have countries like Zimbabwe under U.S. war sanctions to make it unattractive for any African to come, because Europeans are preserving it for themselves. But I'm inviting you, my African-American brother, you Africans in the diaspora, you Africans on the continent, to say, come and take advantage of the greatest reserves of lithium, chrome, gold, true wealth, land, an opportunity to develop infrastructure for us to create wealth as a people, for yourselves, for the advancement of Africa. The time to awake is now, but awakening takes action, pride, investment, development, innovation, to give our people power. This is the time.
Now is the time. It is now. It is now. Once again, as I say, the model of this program, Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die. And that's the bottom line. Baba Mukasa.
You make it so clear, I don't need to say not another word.
Well, you know, I appreciate that, and this is what I do on a consistent basis, you know. But the reality is that there's so many forces working against us. There's so many obstacles that have been put into our path. So much ignorance, you know, that is just, sometimes it's just mind-boggling. And what I try to get some of the people that I know and talk to and whatever to understand, stop blaming us. Many of us blame us. I understand it's very easy to blame us in this ignorance and this stupidity that we exhibit at times, but the truth of the matter is we need to put the blame where it squarely belongs, on the perpetrators of this dastardly and disgusting situation that we are in, the Europeans, you know. And just like my brother said, oh, you always blaming the white man. You always blaming the white man. You damn right. Because he is the crux of the problem. He's the one that prevents us from looking at ourselves and seeing each other as brothers and sisters. You know, just like Dr. Clark said, we have no friends. African people, we have no friends. You want a friend? Go look in the mirror and don't leave the mirror till you like what you see. Not your hair color or the cleft in your chin or the dimple in your cheek. No, like who you see historically and culturally. Love yourself. Love that nose and those lips. And love those who have the same thing that you have. Put all this ignorance and stupidity, kick it to the curb. Come together. You know, they continue to develop even to this present day, at this present moment, this divide between Africans and on the continent and Africans in the diaspora, particularly Africans in America. That's why I did a program last week, Baba Mukasa, and I said, either we Africans, are we Africans or are we black? And I know that many of our people use black interchangeably. And I understand that. But Dr. Clark said, once again, the wisdom of the elders and the ancestors, you know, when you talk about a people, you should have land, history, and culture. That's, we're African. We ain't black. Just like the Caucasian, he ain't white. He's European or Caucasian. He chose this idea of collective whiteness. And what did he do? He put all of these fine words to describe his whiteness, of purity, of honesty, of truth. I mean, all these. And then, of course, what did he do? Just like Ossie Davis said, the European language is my enemy. The European language is my enemy. Because when they describe being black, it is so damn negative. So, anyway, I have you as my guest, and I want to get your perspective on what the future holds for us as African people. I recognize what you had told us previously in the first hour in terms of all of the things that have happened to us and continue to happen to us. You know, even though I say what I say, I am optimistic, even though it doesn't sound that way. I believe in us. I believe that we will, as African people, come together to control our land and our resources and once again be players in the world instead of the pawns that we have become. Go ahead, Baba Mukasa.
I agree with you. Until we take Africa back, until we realize that we are Africans, we got problems. And that what the Europeans do, America and all these big companies and armies do, they go to Africa and get the dumbest Africans they can find and bring them up and put them and tell them they're the leaders, just like the Saudi Arabia so-called kingdom bombs. And they go and find the dumbest people they can find all over this country, from Obama all the way down to all the little mayors and city councils and all them. They up there obeying their slave master.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'd have went and got and found these women and put them up and throw them up in front of us, talking about their leaders, and they all kissing Biden's ass and mm-hmm. going on. These people ain't nothing but bombs and agents of imperialism. And the real people who go out and fight, like them children that burn down these different buildings and burn down that Wendy's over there, they're the ones that made the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And they made the difference. When we burned down the cities in the 60s with Ralph Brown and Stokely and Black Power Movement, and all these cities was on fire, and we were gun battling and fighting and out in the streets dying in Memphis and all over, Chattanooga and everywhere, it's forced these people to go and compromise and give out some crumbs until they could get reestablished and come back, put us all in jail, drug our community, and rob us of all our business, rob us of our houses, rob us of our community, and rob us of our nation. That's what they do. So the only thing they do is get stronger and be able to put us under further colonialism and slavery and oppression, just like they got us right now. And they never stop until you pick up guns, pick up an army, pick up organization. We're in the minds of the people like Mao Zedong and China did, and now China has ran the white man out, ran the British out, ran the French out, ran the United States out, took back over all their different territories, and now they lay the mindset. They lay the ideology. They control the schools. They write the books, and they run the TV. They run the internet.
Right.
They don't let nobody have the opinions of the white man or the white slave master. And, and that's what we got to do.
That's right.
The
that's...
whole world is on Africa's welfare. We feed all of them.
Yeah.
Everybody, United States, they wouldn't have no cars or television or electronics if it wasn't for Africa.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have a damn thing. No country in the world would have nothing if it wasn't for Africa. And that's why all of them are killing Africans, got armies all over Africa, and ready to kill anybody that say that Africa must be free. Or anybody tell us to love Africa, love our country. That's why they go in our minds on the TV and on the all everywhere, schools and everywhere. Got our people don't even mention Africa. We don't talk about Africa to our children.
That's
we don't talk about our culture. We don't even look at our deities. All the deities and gods, and we had millions of years before we met the white man. He done cut that off, and now all they allow some of us to do is talk about some Allah or talk about Jesus, and we had God and long before that was a Jesus or Allah. And that we have to come back to being who we are. What is our personality? This is, like you just said, not our language. And they've set our mindset, and what we think we see is what they put in front of us to see.
Right.
And these people that they call the leaders, and this is worldwide, they are serving the ones who put us in slavery and continue to kill us by the millions. And that's what Biden doing. He done went and found some slaves, and they be praising that devil like he somebody. He ain't nothing but a devil, a murderer, a killer. And that little woman up there with him, too, all of them ain't nothing but devils. And if those people that want freedom are those people that went out there, threw bricks and balls, burnt down the cities, burnt down the buildings, burnt down witnesses, out there with their machine guns and whatever they could do, and doing their best to make an expression, we are proud of them. And that and all these Uncle Toms that was condemning them, talking bad about them, now they don't scare them so bad that everywhere you look on TV, there's another black person. And all them, all the white folks went out and found them a slave and got a black man standing next to them grinning and all that kind of stuff. But if it wasn't for these people burning these cities down, when none of our people be in these big old white colleges getting these degrees, when none of them be in these factories up in the executive position and getting good jobs or whatever, we open that up with black power.
That's right.
We open up where they would give scholarships and put them in schools and stuff because they were scared we were going to burn this country down. But now it's time for us to burn the world down. It's time to liberate Africa, liberate our territories, and fight. So when we damn some voting, your freedom ain't on no ballot. Ain't nothing on no damn ballot. Nothing. Zero. And we out here running behind some Uncle Toms, voting for some Uncle Toms, or voting for some white people. We went through all that. We were bombed, killed, and all that. And what you fighting for? Now, Kwame Nkrumah, like you say, or Garvey, or whoever, they appointed us toward Africa. It's time for us to put Africa on our lips, Africa on our mind, and begin to work and fight for it.
I say. That's why I said
that. We have absolutely no future.
Right.
And like you just said, us trying to live with these white folks is like a chicken, a million chickens in the pen with a million wolves.
Yeah.
The chicken's going to get that help.
That's right.
And we stay with these people. Marcus Garvey said they're going to say there used to be some black people, like they say, it used to be some Indians. Mm-hmm. It used to be some Africans. It used to be some Native people here. And the only reason Native people ain't here because these white folks done killed them.
That's right.
They done killed them. And now they killing us. We died faster than anybody in the world. They got all of us right now thinking about death. Who put anything past them? Look what the disease they gave the Indians.
Yeah.
They couldn't kill them fast enough with bullets, so they gave them yellow fever and smallpox and other kind of diseases. And they have done that all over the world, and they continue to do it.
That's right.
So need Africa. We need the land, and we need people to speak up. And one other thing, we need to stop being afraid of socialism. Socialism ain't nothing but an economic system. So you take everything that the rich man got or the white man got and give it back to the people that he stole it from.
Look, well, you see what happened in the elections. That's what they did. That's what the right wing, the so-called Republicans, that's what they did. They labeled all that was happening to individuals socialists, the socialism. Yeah. But understand something. What that is, when you got Social Security, when you got a fire department, a police department, educators, when you, all that is socialism. When you got,
of course,
you know, Medicare and Medicaid, all that is socialism. But yet they paint that they paint that because what they want people to believe is that capitalism is what's good. Capitalism is your opportunity to accumulate as much wealth as anybody can accumulate. And that's the sad thing about the evil of a capitalist system for an individual to have as much as they do. A whole bunch of people can't have a damn thing. It's rotten.
And all for them to have billions and trillions, somebody got to have nothing.
Nothing. Nothing.
700 million black people live on $1.90 a day. And these people never had a clean glass of water, never seen a toilet, never seen an aspirin, and never seen a balanced meal. We just eating garbage all over the world.
Well, we got some callers. Let me take a call here. Good afternoon, Baba Kamban. Are you with me? You're on the line here with the African Perspective with Baba Mukasa. Baba Kamban? Okay, he's just listening. Caller.
Word in flesh and dwelt among
caller,
us.
Caller from Chattanooga.
Bore their pains and carried their sickness. He
was caller, pierced through for their caller from Chattanooga.
Crushed for their iniquities. The chastisement of their well-being.
Okay. Let me take another call then. 678-521. 678-521. Good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing good. I got a question for Baba Mukasa. Would he be able to tell us what is the importance of internationalism and learning from the international struggles of Palestine or Cuba or Nicaragua or Vietnam? What would be the importance of learning from those people in the struggle that we have today as Africans in whatever country we are, as Africans in the United States or Africans in Georgia or Africans in California or Africans in Brazil? What is the importance of learning from what the revolutions in Cuba and Palestine? Or are they important?
All right.
Could you tell us how important it is? Could you elaborate on that a little bit?
I could. I think that if we look at Cuba, for example, and we look at Cuba, for example, in 1958. Fidel Castro, Raul Castro, Camilo Sanfuegos, Dilma Espin, and all of the different revolutionaries in Cuba, they came together. It was a capitalist country where they had prostitution, they had military compound, they had prisons and drugs, and it was like it was similar to what we live today in the United States. And then they ran all of that out. They turned the military compounds to medical schools and provided medical, and actually opened up the biggest medical school in the world. and they converted all of this prostitution to nurses and doctors, and they converted all of these drugs to pharmaceutical companies that's curing different diseases that the first world is not, and they made an example for communism. And then not only that, they sent doctors to Africa. So I feel like that is something that we can do as African people, starting off wherever we gain revolution. I feel like we can learn a lot from Cuba, and learn a lot from the communism in Cuba. So that's why I feel like internationalism is important for us, and a lot of us think that the struggle is right here in Los Angeles, and it doesn't go outside of the borders, or it's right here in the United States, and we are unique, and the struggle for African people right here in the United States is unique, and you have a unique struggle. But I feel like we have brothers and sisters that don't even look like us in Nicaragua, or in the Garifunas who look like us in Honduras have a similar struggle, or the Vietnamese people have a similar struggle, or even there's Europeans who have similar struggles. And I feel like we can learn from them a lot. Palestine has a similar struggle. That Israel is killing all of the Palestine, United States and Europe, under the pretext of Israel is killing all of these people in Palestine, and the Palestinians are coming up and rising, and of course with their brothers in Lebanon, their brothers in Iran, and all the different brothers all over, Yemen, and all of the different revolutionary areas over there, what they call the Middle East, they're coming up, and we can learn from them, because that's basically, they're doing the same thing they're doing in Palestine, they're doing to us in Africa. They're basically, Africa was a big continent, where we were all one people, and they split it up into 50 semi countries. If we can learn from Palestine, maybe we can learn from Cuba, maybe we can learn from Vietnam, maybe we can learn from Russia, or Venezuela, Bolivia, or we can learn from all of these different people. So that's or Hugo Chavez in Venezuela, we can definitely learn from Hugo Chavez in Venezuela. Hugo Chavez in Venezuela, we can learn a little bit from everybody. Hugo Chavez in Venezuela, they changed the curriculum for medicine for all doctors all over the world. They were the first to change the curriculum, and all doctors all over the world are using this curriculum of Hugo Chavez, and they will never give credit to Hugo Chavez. But it was in 2005 when they did it. 2005, he changed the curriculum, and all the medical schools all over the world follow that curriculum so we can learn a lot from all of these different socialists and communists all over the world and apply it to right here where we are, and then it could help us.
I don't think that we can do anything here. I think what's most important is for us to go home. I don't think we can do anything in the belly of the beast. I respect Brothers and Sisters of Republic of New Africa, Nation of Islam, when they talked about the states here in the South, but once again, you're dealing with an entity that is so selfish and so greedy and mean-spirited and hateful. We had at one time some places where we had a community pretty much self-contained. They had businesses. They relied on each other. They didn't look anywhere outside of themselves. All of those things are gone. If you can show or tell me here in this country where there's an area where American Africans are living and have businesses and control the economy of that area and control the resources of that area. It's nowhere. It doesn't exist nowhere here. It doesn't.
What we can do is upset their stomach. If we here, we in the belly of the beast, let's give them an upset stomach. Like when they were fighting in Vietnam, we went out and started burning down all these cities and had America on fire. They had to bring their troops back from Vietnam and land them in Detroit and Newark and fight us in the streets here. So the least we can do is give the United States, we in the belly of the beast, wherever we are, give them an upset stomach, make them where they can't function. We help the Vietnamese whoop them. And we can whoop them from right here. We can at least help. If they fight in Africa, if they fight in the Congo, we fight here. And go take them to the streets and burn these cities down and cripple this government. Because we had them crippled in the 60s for a minute. And we have to continue to do that. But at the same time, we have to follow the philosophy of Fidel Castro, follow the philosophy of Marcus Garvey and all that, because until we free Africa, we'll never be free.
That's
so
right.
We can make contributions to that freedom by joining in with Nicaragua, joining in with Venezuela, joining in with Fidel Castro, joining in with all the revolution, Yemen, joining in with the Palestinians. And every time somebody in the world fight, we fight with them. We make contributions to their struggle. But we definitely got to give the United States an upset stomach. It's hard to fight a battle when your stomach is upset and you do it on yourself. We had them on fire. And well, we should make them do it on themselves where they can't function.
Well,
they got to hold their butt instead of holding a gun. And we need to bring this country down. We need to bring them to their knees. Is that what you're talking about, young man?
I definitely agree with that. I think that the struggle here in the United States of African people in the United States, I think that I think our fight should be a solidarity fight. It should be a fight of unity with the Mayan people, indigenous people, the Aztec people. I don't like to say Native Americans because that's giving too much credit to America's Vespucius, the colonizer who came here and named this land after himself. So I say Mayan people or what we call Mexico or what we call Nicaraguans or Hondurans and Peruvians. You know, I feel like our struggle should be fighting in solidarity with the Zapatistas and the Sandinistas to help get this land, what we call the United States of America, back to them. And this land should be all from Canada, all from Alaska, all the way down to Matapuchi, South America, or Paraguay, South America, should all be land the Mayan people, and this should be a land of solidarity where African people can go. You know, this native land should have the relationship that Europe has to the United States of America. The Native American people native people of this, what we call America, should be brothers and sisters of Africa. Of course, our struggle is for Africa, and I definitely agree with that. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Now, our struggle here in the United States, of course, should perforate the stomach of the beast, you know, till it kills them. You know, and resuscitate the native people of this land, and make sure this land is officially their land again, and it gets sovereign. But our struggle, like you said, our struggle is for Africa,
right?
And to me,
I want us to understand the struggles of humanity. And all of the people who want to be free, who want to free their indigenous land and to reclaim their culture, because that's what it is. Europeans impose their culture on the world, and their culture is antithetic to all the people that they encountered. It's detrimental to those people, particularly to us. And so my contention is that we don't bother trying to change Caucasians. We don't bother challenging them here in the United States, here in these cities. It is theirs. You know, they taken it. And believe me, they have the armament and the military and the armor to defend it and to keep it. I'm saying
they can't keep it.
I'm saying, well, I don't know, Baba Mikasa. You know,
we're going to beat them. They got to give back everything they stole. Everything.
You know, I would love for that to happen. But the only way that could happen is through divine intervention.
We got divine intervention. I'm sent from God to tell us that let's beat them down. Let's whoop them. I'm divine. whoop them, beat them down. Give them a beat down. With all the freedom fighters in the world, and Castro and all the people that love Castro.
But see, let me just say that.
Let's rise up. Well, that's divine.
Let me say that, you know, to conjure up our ancestors to do something like that is miraculous and it is a miracle in itself. I'm trying to deal with it practically. I'm trying to say that we have a landmass, Africa, that is ours. We don't have to ask nobody for permission. We don't have to say to, all we have to do is put it into our minds and into the minds of brothers and sisters on the continent that we are one. We come together. We end all the neocolonialism, all the despots, all the stupidity, all the ignorance. Kick all those folks off. You have some allegiance to Europe? Take your ass to Europe, to France, to England, to whatever. You have some allegiance outside of Africa to somebody, then take your ass there. Because what we're going to do here.
They ain't going to give up. They ain't going to give up. You got to fight them to death. You got to whoop them. You got to kill them. Because these people come to kill us. They killing us all over the world. They holding armies and guns and bombs on us. And we got to shoot down their planes, their missiles.
And I'm saying, Baba Mukasa, that where we fight them is on the continent that is ours.
No. We got to fight it wherever we are. Everywhere we are, we got to have it on fire. If we in the Caribbean, we in Brazil, burn Brazil. If we in the Caribbean, in Jamaica, or Haiti, or wherever, burn it. We got to have the whole world on fire until we burn and bring the order to what it's supposed to be.
But see,
that's
Baba Mukasa,
we talk about world socialism. We talk about Pan-Africanism. Everywhere African is, everywhere there's African blood, Indian blood, Native blood, Palestinian blood, anybody that's fighting them, we got to join in, exchange guns, weapons, and whatever ideas and whatever, and we got to fight them on a worldwide level. Remember, imperialism is worldwide.
And that's the issue, Baba Mukasa. That's the issue, Baba Mukasa, is that, you know, all of these fronts, we don't have weaponry. We don't have
the... We can get them.
Well, you know,
we need organization.
That's the point.
We need organization.
We need organization. And we need a Pan-African organization that speaks to liberating Africa. We can't liberate the world.
And we all talk about the liberation of Africa, but when we upset the United States, we'll weaken it. When we break them off down in Haiti and Venezuela and all these other struggles that Fidel has stretched out to and send doctors to Cuba to be trained, and all kind of other forces and learn from revolutionaries, we can bring this monster down. But we can't do it just fighting in Africa. We got to have the whole world on fire. And we got to join in with the Vietnamese, join in with North Korea, join in with Palestine, Yemen, join in with Fidel, join in with Venezuela, join in with everybody. And we got to
Baba Mukasa, that takes a worldwide coordination against
an
entity.
That's what we mean by Pan-Africanism.
Against an entity.
Hold on.
Against an entity that is already entrenched. Against an entity that literally has enough armament to blow this planet up 4 or 5 times over.
No,
I got another call.
They want to blow it up. We say we either get some of the power, we're going to destroy the power. We get the whole power back, or we're going to destroy it. Otherwise, we'd rather see it burn. We'd rather see it blowed up. We'd rather see it torn down.
I agree.
Than deferred to live.
Hold on. I got a caller here. Hold on. Hold on, family. Caller. Good afternoon, caller. Caller unknown. Good afternoon.
Oh, sorry, Brother Ochi, man.
Hey, Brother Paul. How are you? This is Brother Paul from the UK. How you doing, Brother Paul? How are you?
Brother Ochi, you know, I absolutely respect you. Absolutely love your programs. I love your group. But this man, this guest you've got on.
That's right. Baba Mukasa, man. African.
This man is a beautiful man, man.
Yes,
he is. This man is the epitome of my soul. This man, you see this, how this man talks? You see, he talks how some of us are born. Some of us are born this way. We're not made this way. We're born in our soul. We're the ones who are going to fight to the death. We're the ones who are going to fight to the death And when we come back, we're going to fight again. We don't know about surrender, Bubba. We don't know about retreat. We know about fight, and we're going to fight. And this devil, he don't know about us yet. He's not met us yet. He has not met us. And some of us, we're not, Ochi, let me repeat this again. We're not made this way. We're born this way. We're born for this purpose. You understand? And we're going to die for this purpose. We're not going to back down. We're not going to run away. We're not going to escape anywhere. We're going to fight to the death. They've never met us yet. They don't know us yet. Okay? Right? I make a trip when I phone across the... When I phone, in this UK here, we've got some of the top psychopaths on the world.
Yes.
That's how they've managed to dominate the world. But hear what now? I have no fear for them. Because I know their tricks. No fear whatsoever of them. Yeah, and I know they're listening, and I want them to listen, because this is the real day. You know, today, let me make sure you know, today, this country, the UK, this is a momentous day for the world. They told us that they're going to roll out vaccines for everybody. They told us that today, yeah? They've got a priority list. They have a priority list, and on that list, they say, if you're 80 and above, you're going to be first in line. If you're 70 and above, you're going to be second in line. Yeah? And on that list, you know what they say? If you're part of the BAME, they call it, the black and ethnic minority, you're going to be first on that list. Well, I can tell them to go to hell.
I know that's right.
You understand?
Yes.
Because the resistance has started. You understand?
Yes.
It started. Okay? Now, the reason why they're rolling it out in the UK, and I've been telling you from time, the reason you speak English is because these people are still controlling the world. You understand?
Yes.
America is used as the arm of the world. That thing you call politics is there has been run by the Corporation of London from right here, okay? The people who sort out your money, the Federal Reserve, is being controlled right here from the Corporation of London. They run the show, okay? So hear what now? They're going to roll it out here, and then they're coming for you second. They've been planning this. They've been planning this from day one. So we better wake up. There's no running from anywhere. There's no running away. You're going to stand and fight, or you're going to die. That's what's going to happen. They're setting us up for death, okay? So this man, you know, he speaks exactly what I've always known, right? Some of us, we're going to have to fight. We're going to have to fight for our lives. Because we're not going anywhere.
Ashe. Baba Mukasa?
Yes, sir. We got to fight for Africa. We got to fight all over the world. And one day we're going to have the whole world on fire. And everybody's going to be screaming socialism. Africa must be free. But in order to get rid of them, you got to burn them. You got to destroy them. You got to bring them down. You got to bring their empires down. Bring their buildings down. Bring everything down. Destroy the neo-colonial, destroy the Uncle Tom, destroy the weak people. And the strong people have to come together and rise up. And we will rise from forgotten graves. And our ancestors will rise and guide us to bring down this empire, because they have committed crimes against the world. And they're doing it more and more every day. And they're murdering us, raping us, killing us, robbing us of our resources, destroying our minds, destroying our families, destroying our continent. And the only way to stop them is to destroy them and to bring it down, bring this imperialist down. It's a worldwide monster. It's stationed in Britain, in France, in the United States, in Argentina, wherever they might be stationed. But we got to bring them down. And in Africa, we must drive them to their graves. And everybody that support them, we must drive them to their grave and be guided by Fidel Castro, be guided by revolution, be guided by Pan-Africanism. But we're in a state of war all over
That's
the
right.
world.
That's right. We are in a state of war.
That's what that young man was saying, Abeku. Abeku, you still there?
I'm still here.
I'm here, my brother. I'm here. I'm
right
here.
On.
You know,
we got brothers from. Yes,
like
sir.
Like I said to you today, they have declared in the country I live in. They have declared, the government have come out and said that everybody is to get vaccinated by these two corrupt companies, Pfizer and this other German company,
Moderna.
You know, let me just remind your guests, yeah, concentration camps. Most people sow the narrative that concentration camps was run by Hitler amongst the Jews. No. Concentration camps were first started by the British to contain their arch enemies, the Dutch, in down in South Africa when they were fighting over the African gold. Okay? That's where concentration camps started. Hitler said in his book, Mein Kampf, the people he admired the most, the people he admired the most was the British, okay? Do you understand that? That's what he said, okay? So when these people, these so-called Zionists, tell you this rubbish, Hitler started the concentration camps, no, the British. And they were those Zionists were down in South Africa with the British robbing the gold. They helped create South Africa with the British. So that's the real story, okay? So the reality of it is today, right, they have declared war on the people. Because they're coming after the people, because they know that the people are waking up. They're listening. We know they're listening to everything. They know the people are waking up, right? And the talking time is over because they're coming for you. They're coming actively. They've shut down all the airports. Why? They're shutting down businesses. You think this is playday? You think that in 1972 it was President Nixon who removed the gold standard? What does that mean? That means that money is worth nothing. They're printing money on their money machines. It's called quantitative easing, right? That means that they're making money out of thin air. Okay, and that system, the top economist said, he said that once countries start printing money, quantitative easing, yeah? The next stage is a state of war. And they've been doing this since the 1980s, and it's fouled, okay? So they've been presiding off war. But the only way they can do it is by killing people and murdering people. A plan Hitler would have wished he could have carried out, which they're about to carry out now. Okay, that's the reality of it. That is the truth, an undisputable truth, okay?
And we ain't going to be killed, we're going to kill back. We will kill back. We're not going to be killed. We're going to organize worldwide organization, worldwide movement, all the socialist forces in the world, all the revolutionary governments in the world, all the revolutionary organizations in the world will come together and we will destroy imperialism together. The United States is guilty. France is guilty. Britain is guilty. Europe is guilty. They have all raped Africa and they have all oppressed in Africa. And we must stop them.
Well, the only thing I say to that, my brother, is that I give acknowledgement to the work you all doing. I give acknowledgement to my brother and elder, brother Ochi, for the brave work he's doing. And I respect his stance. I absolutely respect his stance. But we're all born different. We're not all cut from the same cloth. Well, we may be cut from the same cloth, but we're slightly different. I know what I was born to do, right? And if I'm going to die, I'd rather die in battle than die begging these people for anything. I'd rather die in battle than begging for my freedom or walking up and down the streets or shouting outside people's buildings for freedom and going to a rotten tree and asking it for justice. Not me. No, I'd rather die fighting. That's me, and I was born that way, and I'm not scared to tell anybody. That is what I want. You understand? And I recognize now clearly... Clearly, if we don't stand up in this time, then it's over for us. There's no Africa for us. They're in Africa now, taking over Africa, brainwashing them, poisoning them right down in South Africa. How many people have they killed? The dumb president right down there, he's giving these people vaccines like it's going out of fashion. What is wrong with these people? We keep talking about Africa. Some of them leaders, they need to be lined up by the firing line, just like Jerry Rawlings did, and taken out.
That's right. I agree.
All the neo-colonials need to die. Yes. All of them are agents of imperialism fighting against their own people. They are no good for us. That's why we have to fight for Africa. We have to come together, be an ideology, bring the revolutionary together, and be guided by people like Fidel Castro, Kwame Nkrumah, Sekou Toure, Lumumba, and Marcus Garvey, and whatever have you. Again, my name is Mukasa Dada. And you can Google my name and you'll see more about who I am and what I do. I work with Kwame Toure. I work with all the revolutionaries, Martin King, Malcolm, all of them, and guided by people like Marcus Garvey. But my name is Mukasa Dada, Mukasa Dada. And the young man on there is a one of Fidel Castro's being trained in Cuba, trained as a doctor. His name is Abeku. Abeku, say Black Power.
Abeku. You want to cast some closing? We're out of time. I'm going to give all three of you just a minute of some closing words, and I'm going to start with you, my brother. Brother Beku, some closing remarks.
Okay. Dr. Okay. Baker.
All right.
So to close, I want to talk about really quick what is revolution, right? And
yeah, make it quick now. Make it because I'm up against time, brother. Thank you.
Okay. Talk fast, Baker.
So to make it very quick, I want everyone to look at a Fidel Castro speech called "What Is Revolution?" And it's called, he says, "Revolution is this, revolution is that." And I want people to look at that. I want people to continue to learn about international struggle. Remember, our struggle is not confined to UK or United States. I want everybody to study the Solomon Island and Coconut Revolution. The Coconut Revolution. I want everybody to study Palestine, Haiti, how they gained liberation in 1804, if I'm not mistaken, and even Vietnam, even Cuba, and look at the international struggles and figure out how can we apply that in Africa. And that will be my takeaway for today.
All right. Thank you, dear brother. Brother Paul.
I'm going to be very quick. Revolution for me starts in the mind. That's where the revolution starts. We've done enough studying. We've done enough reading. Revolution starts in the mind. Whether you see yourself as a soldier or a subservient or a prisoner, you make up your mind. You look in the mirror and you make up and you say to yourself, are you a soldier or are you a prisoner? If you're a prisoner, stay in your circumstance. And if you're a soldier, make sure you're ready for the battlefield. Revolution is the mindset. Take care.
Thank you, Brother Paul. Baba Mukasa.
Good. Mukasa, I believe in Pan-Africanism, the total liberation unification of Africa under scientific socialism. Scientific socialism is an economic system that give everything to the poor and take everything that the rich have, but build the poor and build nations for all the people and make sure they have all what they need. And my last point is, if anybody want to support the revolution economically, I got a Cash App called Mukasa. It's called $Mukasa Dada. So if anybody want to support it in that way, please do Mukasa Rich.
All right.
Mukasa Rich.
R-I-C-K-S.
Mukasa Rich. Okay. Thank you very much. Black Power.
Black Power. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell, damn it, don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, hope you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fahodie.
Black Power.
Abibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Black Power.
Black Power, Africa.
That's right. Black Power, family. Ashe.
Black Power.